difficult place. And he's saying, it's okay, it's okay. I know where you're going. Many times he's taken this to a new level, to the promise, to a new beginning. We don't feel safe. He's at the wheel. He's saying, okay, we're almost there. It's a new beginning. Just wait a little longer. And that's what he's up to right now in our lives. That's the whole gist of this. I don't know if anyone else can relate to that feeling that is, oh, you know, you just feel like I can't even take this another minute. But he's saying to hold on. I see the other side. I see where you're heading. It may look dark, blackness in front of you, and you can't even fathom it. And he says, hang on. He's just tapping us. We're getting there. We're almost there. He's trying to encourage us through this. And then she continues on that then when they do show up at the place, she lets them loose. These little guys have been like in a cage with only wire, and now they're in hay and they're in straw, and they're just going crazy, and they're flapping around, and they're so joyful, they're so happy that they forgot about the car ride. They completely forgot about it. It was erased from their mind. They forgot how scared they were. It was a distant memory because now they're in the new beginning. When this happens in our lives, we're going to be so happy. All the pain that we went through isn't even going to matter anymore because what we're going to gain is just so much greater.
I want you to sum up right now. I want you to give us two sentences, three sentences that say, here's what we should believe, own, out of what you just told us.
So I'll think about myself, and here's what we should believe, is that even when we don't see it, when we don't feel it, when nothing looks like something good is coming, God is saying, I have a purpose even in this difficult time that you're going through. My purposes for you are always good. Have faith in me. Stop looking at your circumstances. Stop looking at the people around you. Get your eyes focused on me and trust in me because I'm going to show myself mighty in your life and you are going to be amazed by what you see me do. And you are going to have so much joy you will not even remember what you went through to get here.
Thank you very much. Well done. Thank you. Let's respond to that before we go anywhere else. You guys ready to respond to that? Let's each of us just right now close your eyes. Each of us close our eyes. And in that state, I want you to set your eyes on the Lord. Are you ready to do that? Just do that right now. Put your eyes on Him. And now I want you to say, I trust you. Say that. I trust you. Say, I set my eyes on you.
Set my eyes on you.
I know you are promoting me.
I know you are promoting me.
I know you are doing good.
I know you are doing good.
I set my eyes on you.
I set my eyes on you.
Father, we just come before you with absolute intent to see and to know what you're about. We refuse every perspective of our own in order to embrace every perspective of yours. Thank you for the opportunity to do so. You are so good. You are so good. You are so good. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne.
mistakes. You have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails.
You stay the same
through the ages.
Your love never changes.
There may be pain in the night,
but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid. Cause I know that you love me.
Your love never fails.
Your love never fails. Nothing is so great.
Nothing can separate. Even if I ran away, your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails.
You stay the same
through the ages.
Open seas, your love never fails. The chasm is far too wide. Never thought I'd reach the other side. Your love never fails.
You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. Pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage,
I don't have to be afraid,
cause I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. Together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. Together for my good.
truth of your promise, and I steady my heart on the ground of your
We are intentional before you, God, to stay in the position of face to face with you, see you, know you, reflect you, become just like you, walk with you, live in your presence. Thank you for making it possible. Thank you for walking us into such a relationship. Thank you for sustaining us in it. We love you. Thank you, God. Strength lies as we wait upon the Lord.
Thank you.
Our eyes on you, indeed, it is well. It is well. It is well. Thank you, God. James, we're going to go to Spirit Move. Thank you.
So come and blow on through. Spirit, move. We're ready for you to come and blow on through. Come and do what all you can do. Come and blow. Spirit, just move among us. Blow. Move. Shift. Do what only you can do. We love having you do just that. Come and blow, Spirit. Come and blow. You may be seated.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you did on the cross for us. And can the deacons come up? Lee, Ron.
Ron, would you come help us? So we're going to do communion. Yay. let me just wait on the Lord for a second. Lord, I thank you for the communion that you have invited us to, the constant reminder of what you've done for us, Lord. It's something that you've done that you didn't look at us and say, oh, you deserve this. It wasn't like that at all. You said, I love you. And so I am giving myself to you. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for your broken body that was given for us. The forgiveness that you gave to us even when we were walking away from you. And I really enjoy that you're able to change us when we commune with you, and that you've given that to us. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would make us all more like you, more like you as we take this bread. In communion with you. We just bless what you have said, and we say yes and amen to it. Thank you, Lord. Lord, again, we thank you for taking us into your kingdom and creating us to be more like you. We thank you for the forgiveness, and we agree with you. We want you to be Lord over every detail of our lives. We thank you for doing that. Nothing we can do, but we thank you for it. And we take this bread and thank you again.
Lord, thank you for this blood that you shed on the cross for us to wash our sins away. We don't deserve it, but you just did it because your Father told you to do it. And we just thank you for what you did for us on the cross. Thank you, Lord. again, Father. We thank you for what you did on the cross, that the love of your Father poured out onto you so that you could pour your love out on us and draw us back into you and give us the way. We just thank you for everything that you did for us. In Jesus' name, take and drink.
You guys know that 2 weeks ago I started chatting with you about some perspectives on life, and then last week we worked on principles of spiritual warfare. Lord, help me out, Charlie. Can you help me by distributing those on this side? I just wanted Jocelyn to just share this little snippet of a testimony.
When Paula was talking about how things can look so black, one of the things that happened to me over the weekend was a friend called me, and she'd had a horrible dream, one where she couldn't wake up from it. She tried, and when she did, it was... she didn't know where she was. It was just really bad, and it was a definite attack from the enemy. And she had called to ask me to come and talk to her about the dream. She was terrified, couldn't go to sleep at night because of it. And when we met with her, she told us about the dream, and she was panicked. The dream was about her family and separation from family and that kind of thing, very demonic kind of thing. And as I was listening to her, she was in such a panic that she just started praying, God help, I don't know what to do, just help me, just whatever that was, just help me, and that's what she kept doing, was crying out. There was panic, definite panic. And we just started talking to her about how she had gone to the right place. Even though she was scared, she knew where to run and what the enemy had thought that he was going to use to put separation and fear and anxiety into her. He was using to turn her into a prayer warrior. And you saw, even as those words were spoken, you just saw everything shift. It was like sudden peace came over her as she realized that this bad place was actually a good place for her. And everything just broke. And so we chatted with her for a little while. She'd been having trouble with, she'd injured her back, and it had been going on for like 5 months. And as soon as she'd injured it, the thought that came to her mind was, I should call Jocelyn. And she didn't. She started going to the chiropractor, gave them all kinds of money. And that morning, course, she's under a lot of stress and a lot of attack. That morning, she ends up, what the chiropractor was able to do was gone, and she's back at square one. And she's all upset about that also. And so as I was leaving and saying goodbye to her, I put my hand on her back and I just started praying. And she was like, "Did you feel that?" And I said, "No, but I saw something." And she said, "No, it was like somebody picked me up." And I said, "I saw your back go from this to this." It was just amazing. It was an instant thing. So even if the enemy is coming at you with all this horrible stuff, God is transitioning you.
Amen. Of the mic. Here's the deal, guys. I want to talk to you. I want to review just briefly the last two Sunday sermons. If you guys, whoever wasn't at those, I would encourage you to check them out on the online, because I feel like they're essential for the season that we're going into. This perspective that has been shared by Jocelyn and by Paula earlier are very significant. We are in a place where we need to see things through a different set of lenses, and one of them is God is for sure at work here, even in the bleak and the difficult and the shifting and the uncomfortable. And Paula's discussion, it was about a change that seemed very uncomfortable from everything that seems normal to that which doesn't seem normal. And in that transition, God has His goodness available to us. All right, now I'm going to quick backtrack. 2 weeks back, we talked about learning to know and walk in the ways of the Lord. It's essential for us to recognize that we have our ways. Those are not the ways we want. Then He has His ways. Those are the ways we want to live in. His ways are higher than ours. And His thoughts, so much higher than ours. And here's the other piece that I want to speak to you right out of Isaiah 55, which I was just quoting to you. So will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. I'm going to make sure it gets done. So remember, we talked about the reality of His commandments, His statutes, His ordinances. What were those things? Anybody remember? CJA is our acronym. What is it? His commands, that which He is speaking to us. C. J. His judgments, that which He has spoken into us and about us. His judgments toward us and His appointments. His appointments. A. His appointments. The time and the location to which He is speaking to us. Okay, so you have to understand that God has sent forth His word, His commands to you, His judgments over you and into you, and His appointments with respect to your life. Those are His words. We have a responsibility with His words. Does anybody remember what the responsibility is? Four-letter word, starts with K, ends with P, two E's in the middle. Keep. What does keep mean? Keep means keep. Keep means hold on to. Keep. Don't let go. Guard. Grab a hold of. Do not let go. What's your job? Keep His commands, His judgments, and His appointments. Okay? Don't forget about that. So that was 2 weeks ago. Let me see if there's anything else from 2 weeks ago that I want to review. Last week we began principles of spiritual warfare. And we worked through, I think, item 6 or so on your notes. Okay? Principles of spiritual warfare, that sounds like something out there or something. Nope. That's your life. That's your life today. That's your life yesterday, whether you know it or not. That's your life tomorrow. The principles of spiritual warfare, this isn't something that you put on once in a while. This isn't something that occasionally you have to find a way to do. This is life and lifestyle. This is speaking to you of the ways of God. See, I'm going to say something to you. You are more a spiritual being than you are a physical being. Now, go ahead and prove that, George. Oh, I can't prove it. I can even try. You can sit there and you can slap your physical being all you want, and it's there. Yep, there it is. You can make sounds with it, okay? But I'm going to tell you something. This that you see and feel, this thing, is passing away. You already know it. I mean, everyone here has some level of understanding of their own mortality. The reality is that this stuff is going to go away. But even more so, all stuff goes away. Space and time itself is simply a temporary construct to give you an opportunity, He gave you an opportunity to walk with God. Space and time was created. There was an event. The Spirit of the Lord vibrated over the deep, the blackness, the chaos. And out of that vibration, there was a creation. He said, let there be light. And in that place, the letting there be light, suddenly, out of nothing, before there was time, time began, stuff began, so that you could have this opportunity to see beyond what you see and to believe beyond what is obvious. Thus, we have the reality that you, a spiritual being, yes, currently cloaked in this physical tent, is in a place where spiritual warfare is your way. If it's not your way, then you're missing out on what you're supposed to be about. So very rapidly, let me remind you that the first and primary understanding from which everything else comes with respect to spiritual warfare is that you have access to God Himself, always. Always. You have immediate access to it. He is right there with you all the time. He's not just right there. He's aware of you. He's aware of your circumstances. He's there. He's active. He's communicating with you. He's there doing. God's there. Okay? And any time that you think something even slightly different than the incredible, immediate, powerful, real, active, communicative presence of God, that's a deception. Watch out. Because you already started going down the wrong road. If you think He's not there for you, oops, we just blew spiritual warfare 101, maybe 100, okay, .0, okay? Spiritual warfare in the very beginning is God is here with you, taking care of you. That's why when we have the situation of the little birdies in their little thing or wherever we go, the reality is always God is here for my good, and so therefore, everything else. Here I am, here's circumstance, but God is here to accomplish good, therefore everything else. Okay? That's the very beginning. Worship is absolutely key. We know about forgiveness and addressing of curses by the blood. It's important to confess truth. We're going to get more into that a little bit later. Recognizing this, point six, the hijacking of human authority is key to all demonic activity. It is your authority that is used against you if the authority is used against you. If you're getting beaten on, let me just tell you, okay? God is pointing out some of your authority that has been hijacked that He wants you to regain. He wants you to own that authority. He gave it to you for a purpose. He gave you authority in you and in your life circumstances and even in an expanding zone for His purposes. Yes, for that zone, but for you. He gave you that authority because He wanted to promote you. He wanted to build you. He wanted to make you a son or a daughter of God like none other. He wanted to build you. You know, Jesus intentionally didn't do things so that you could. He held Himself back. He had the power to do it, and He said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to save that for my kids, my girls, my boys, my sons and daughters from the Father, my brothers and sisters from Jesus' perspective. He intentionally held Himself back so that you could have stuff to do. He wants to give this stuff to you. That's why you're here. That's why you exist. That's why space-time exists. That's why you live today and in the circumstances that you're in. Hijacking of human authority is the key to demonic activity. Because they don't have authority unless it's given to them, just like you. You don't have authority unless it's given to you. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore. What is He saying? He says, I'm giving you some limited authority. Here's some extra. Here's some for you. Here's some for you. I'm giving you authority. Because He has got it all. He gives it to you. The hijacking is where we got to watch out. Because the hijacking is where the enemy manages to acquire a little bit of something to beat us up with. All right. New stuff. Point seven. We have been given authority by God over all the power of the enemy. I'll put a period on the end of that sentence just to help you to complete the thought. Got it? We've been given authority. No. Why doesn't it look like it sometimes? That's a fair question. We'll get more into that as we go along. But let me say that you do have authority. When you, there are various of us have had different kinds of interactions with the enemy. Some of us have had very, very overt, back and forth with visible or invisible enemy force. Okay, yep, that's true. And all of us have had influences and difficulties in that. All of that's there too. Let me just say to you, we have authority. I'm not saying that you should go running off to, take on the big hoo-ha of some religion or something like that and try to beat them up because you have all authority. That's not what I'm saying, because unless God tells you to go there, don't. Okay? But I am saying to you that you, in your life, where you live, over your situation, over yourself, you have been given authority. Now, some of that, because we screw up and because we believe stupid things and such, because of all that, we have ceded some level of authority. And so then that needs to be taken back. That's true. Okay? So we fight and we can beat the enemy at his game. And I'm giving you, 7A, 1 through 4 there, is sort of what I would consider more or less standard spiritual warfare technique, which is just beating on the enemy, face to face, getting up your dukes and just fighting them up, okay? So that's what we're talking about. So repentance, okay? Let's face it, we need to recognize what it is that we have been lied about, where it is that we have ceded some authority. We need to recognize that. That's a key issue to recognize. And we need to confess that as sin, okay? When I give up any level of authority in my life that God has given to me, if I give that up to the enemy, let me just say that's sin, okay? God didn't give you that authority so you could give it to the enemy. Does that make sense? So, we get all worried about what sin is. Let's not get worried about what sin is. Everything where God said this and it's not that, that's sin. Cool. We got a cross. We got a Savior. That sin is dealable. We can deal with that just like that. We confess it. We repent. The guilt and the shame of that has to go away. We ask for the gift of repentance. What does that mean? God, help me to shift, number one, how I believe. Number two, how I think. How I feel, even perhaps. My actions and my speaking. You see, we, by our very nature, are spirit beings with the capacity for belief. And that belief, a true belief, results in a thinking style, and there that results in a feeling style, and all of those result in a speaking style, which results in an action style. Okay? So belief is the strength of who you are. You have the right to believe. Okay? And God will give you that. He will let you believe. You can believe what you want to believe, in fact. Okay? I suggest to you that you believe whatever God says to you. Whatever His commands to you are, I believe you should believe those. His judgments over you. The fact that He has called you righteous. The fact that He has put His own personal nature into you and judged you to have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and self-control. That He has judged those things because of His Son into your life. Accept what He has to say. That would be my suggestion as to what you should believe. When you begin to believe something, when you believe it really, it becomes activated in who you are and you start to change how you think. And the changing how you think changes how you speak and how you feel. And how you speak and how you feel changes how you act. Just how it works. That's the kind of creature you are. You're a creature that holds on to, that keeps a belief. And out of that belief, right in there, everything else comes. So, We can fight the enemy at his game through repentance, through application of the blood of Jesus versus guilt and shame, the curse. Through commands, we say, enemy, be gone in Jesus' name. Can I just tell you something? If the enemy's on your turf and you repent and you tell him to get out in Jesus' name, can I just tell you something? He's got to go. There's no real power struggle there, okay? Can I just tell you something? The reality, he has got to go. Now, get into some other things in a moment, okay? The truth is, the reason we have to keep, okay, is because sometimes we say, all right, I'm going to believe this thing. I'm going to hold on to this thing. I believe it. I got it. And we demand that the enemy goes. We sweep out our house, as Jesus said. It's all nice and clean. But then we start thinking other thoughts and wondering about whether we should keep this, maybe dropping it. And the next thing you know, the enemy has re-inhabited the same location. Okay? Because we have to keep. The one thing we gotta really do is keep. Okay? Hold on to. Grab a hold of that which is true, what he has spoken to us, his commands, his judgments, and his appointment. Hold on to those things because that's key. Sometimes we don't, and the next thing you know, the enemy's back there, and you can say, well, I just kicked him out. Well, yeah, you let the door open. Okay, you kicked him out, but you left the door open, and he liked it there. He's got his agenda too, you know, so he likes it there. And just because you kicked him out doesn't mean that he doesn't come back in. We exist in time at the moment, all right? We exist in eternity, but we also exist in time. And because we exist in time, there's both the opportunity for repentance, which is great, and also the opportunity for the enemy to come back, which is not always that much fun, okay? So lots of times in our lives, because there's a fundamental belief that we're not believing properly or not really owning about what God has said about us, typically, right there, because of that, there's a little bit of back and forth, and we give him the boot, and the next thing you know, we're thinking the wrong way again, or we give him the boot, and we see the result of an action or a word again, and we're like, oh, how did that happen? Okay, yep, that happens. And that's this sort of repetitive thing that can kind of get frustrating. One of the things that we do, and we need to grab a hold of, is that by confessing CJA, by confessing that which we've kept, okay, it begins to drive into us, okay? Sometimes we're a complicated thing, okay? We are a spirit. We have a soul, and that soul, let me just tell you something, it's a very complicated thing. There's so much to it, and so much, you know, movement and oh my goodness, it's complicated. And then, of course, you got the body, and the body, the biology of your body changes, you know, impacts your soul, and it changes how you think and how you feel, and the strength of this, and oh my goodness, it's so, you're complicated. You're very complicated. Sometimes, one of the key issues is literally speaking what God has given you, the thing you want to hold, speak it, and speak it. You don't have to tell me. Okay, fine. If you want to tell me, that's great. I'm happy to have you tell me. Okay, but let me tell you this. What you're really doing is you're telling you. Okay, you're telling you what to believe. And you're saying, I'm going to hold on to this thing. I got to keep this. Speak it, speak it, speak it. Why? Because you need it. You got to hold on to that. So let me just say that I've seen people flail in the arena of authority with the enemy. And lots of times, it's a deeper issue that has to get addressed. But also, there's many times when people are playing by the enemy's rules. Has anybody ever watched Princess Bride? Anybody ever watched Princess Bride? No? Not very many of you? Oh, your education is sorely, yes, inconceivable. That is, I'm with you, buddy. It's just inconceivable. How could they not? Why? Well, there's a classic, an absolute great. I meant to actually have the video to show it to you, but there's this classic situation where there's two guys kind of fighting over a girl, let's just say, I mean, literally, okay? And it's a fight to the death, and it's a fight, it's a logical fight to the death, and one guy comes and there's two goblets of wine, and he grabs the two goblets and he has his poison behind his back, and he says, okay, well now here's the two goblets. One of them's got poison in it and the other doesn't. You choose, we'll both drink, and one of us dies and the other gets the girl. Okay, that's the basic scoop. Okay. And, you know, it's kind of a funny scene. I kind of like it, like the scene. It's a hilarious scene, but whatever. In the end, his opponent thinks that he's switched things around on him, and they both drink, and the opponent dies, because actually, the guy had put poison in both of the goblets, and so no matter which of the two goblets his opponent had chosen, this guy would have won, and the opponent was going to die, period. Okay, that's how it is. Now, the enemy loves to set the rules of the game. But you were not designed to live by the rules that the enemy set. Okay? Lots of times when you look and you see in your own life that you're flailing, you're going back and forth, that you're not sure, that it seems like you get some victory, and then the next thing you know, you're lambasted again. It's because, not even necessarily that you're not believing the right thing, but you're letting him set the rules about how you're going to engage him and how you're going to engage your life. Often, God would call you to step back, listen to his commands, to his judgments and his appointments, which will provide you with a different set of rules by which you say, this is how we're going to play the game. We're not going to play the game that way. We're going to play the game my way. And the truth of the matter, and this is canonical in game theory, whoever sets the rules of the game is the one who's set up to win the game. That's just how it is. Just interestingly, who set up the rules for everything? Yeah, and who wins in the end? You got it, okay? Here's the deal. God, you, just like your father, are called to set the rules, okay? You are not called to play by the enemy's slanted rules. Heads I win, tails you lose. You're not called to play by the enemy's rules. You're called to set the rules. So there's a difference in thinking. Often we so easily access victimization mentality. Oh my, this set of circumstances. I don't know, I just can't deal with this. This is just too much. Oh, this is just awful. What? Who's the creator? And where does he live? And who's his kid? And who did he give the authority to create with him? Okay, let me just say, we are not called even to combat the enemy on the basis of the enemy's rules. If you look at Jesus just after his baptism, the enemy comes along. Jesus never gives the guy a straight answer. He never plays by his rules. Even when the enemy tries to play by Jesus' rules, Jesus says, no, I'm not even going to play by the rules I said we were going to play by. He didn't. Yeah, you remember. So here's bread. You're hungry. Eat. For it is written, right? No. Here's bread. Eat. Jesus says, no, it's written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every preceding word. Whatever it is that Father is saying, that's what I'm going to live by. The preceding words of God. And so the enemy comes along and says, eventually he says, you should throw yourself off the roof, and you know, you'll look great, and everybody will be attracted to you. And the enemy says, for it is written, I will give the angels charge of me. So the enemy says, oh, your rules? Oh, okay, here. And Jesus says, no, I'm not even going to take your rules. You're talking them. When you say it, I'm not even going to play by your rules at all ever, Satan. Even if the enemy quotes scripture, doesn't matter. Not playing by those rules. Nope. If they're the enemy's rules, we're not playing by them. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's the scoop. All right, so let me just, for the sake of time, we often if we see ourselves in a place of senseless flailing or repetition, it's time to reset the rules of engagement. God will give you wisdom. I'm not saying to you how to do this. You got to be kidding to me. No way. I'm not going to tell you how to do this. I don't know. In the situation that you're in, God has perfect wisdom for you right there. I'm not going to try. Oh, you got to be kidding me. You think I'm so arrogant as to tell you exactly how to do that? You got to be kidding me. No. But God has wisdom for you there. Don't agree to the terms of the enemy. Ask Father for his terms, his approach. And then execute based on the authority given in his words to you. If God says you can do such a thing, you can do it. If God says this is the rules, those are the rules, okay? If God speaks to you, that's the scoop. That's it. That's all it meant. His word will not return void. You choose maybe the site differently. Where you're even doing your fighting. Choose the timing. It could be. I don't know. Choosing the rules of engagement. How you're going to fight. What you're going to listen. How you're going to listen. Who you're going to be with. The appropriate level of warfare. Let me just say that this is a key, and it's essential for you to hear from the Lord in this. If you get a lawyer, I don't want to go into the depths of this, but there's different levels of jurisdiction, just like there is in the earth realm, okay? You can, get arrested for this, maybe local misdemeanor situation, and then maybe the state wants to do this, or the federal government wants to do that. These are different levels of jurisdiction, and in those different levels of jurisdiction, you really need to understand what's going on at those different levels. And so, when you are called to do spiritual warfare, God knows the jurisdictional level that you should be at, and you need to yield to him in that regard, okay? Now, typically when it's you and your own little issue, your own personal stuff, you and God have jurisdiction on a very personal level. But, then you have your family, and there's a different level of jurisdictional authority in that regard. And then you have, maybe the superstructure of the family, or the community, or even government, or other larger arenas of authority. It's important for you to not pretend to play games. You don't want to bring your local authority to bear on a federal case. It's just not going to work out for you. It's not going to happen. Okay? So the real deal is always expecting the Lord to give you the clarity about what is the appropriate level of warfare. Both spiritual and even personal. I'll give you some examples there real quick. If you're struggling with something personally, well, good, address it on a personal level. If that's not working out, ask the Lord. Maybe it's a family issue. Maybe you need to Hannah, maybe you need to check in with your mom or your dad and ask them to pray and work it out, because they have a level of authority in your home that is different than just you and your own little Hannah all by herself, okay? Or maybe you are addressing something that's maybe even a family curse or a family structural issue. Okay, all right. So then you leverage the level of authority that's appropriate at that point. Okay, and it's essential to recognize that you don't just take your Uzi and just spray it everywhere. What you want to do is you want to be submitted to the Lord in the process and know the right level of jurisdiction, the appropriate level of warfare. And then, by that, you can choose the best allies in your fight, both human and spiritual, to leverage people's authority that have authority in the particular arenas. And it's essential for us to understand that God has different levels of authority. There's a story in the scriptures, Daniel. Daniel prayed. Okay, so Daniel had a word. Okay, you're going to have to go and check this out, because I can't remember all the details specifically, but I believe that he had Jeremiah's word about the restoration of some level of people back to Israel. He had this word. 70 years was up. He knew it. He was going to pray it through. He began to pray. Let me just say, intercession is the place of exchange, divine exchange, human and divine exchange that occurs that enables the release of a greater authority. So intercession is key. Daniel's in this place of intercession. He's fasting and he's praying. And I forget how many days. Does anybody remember? But he's doing it for days, okay? And eventually, I believe it was Gabriel, could be wrong, sorry about that, but comes along and says, I was resisted by the prince of Persia. Okay, so there's a large demonic authority that was resisting, I think, this angelic messenger, I think it was Gabriel. And Gabriel grabbed a hold of, I believe it was Michael, the archangel, and said, you know, come help me out. And they broke through and brought Daniel the message that he needed. Okay, so here's the deal. There really are structures. There really are levels of authority, not just in the human realm, but in the spiritual realm, both the realms of darkness and in the realms of light. And let me just say, I'm not going to give you all the details of that because I don't even know them. Okay? But your God, He knows all the details. And the situation you're in, He knows the details of that, and He knows what you need to know. So you get close to Him. Talk to Him. Listen to what He's got to say, because He'll give you what you need. I have so much I wish I could say to you. There's a fantastic event that happened in my life. I was in a healing team in Brazil. And I had before me a woman that had such degradation in all of her cartilage that she could barely move. In fact, she was sitting and she moved her knee, and I put my hand on her knee and I could feel it grating like sandpaper on sandpaper whenever she just moved her knee. And so she was in constant pain and she wanted to get healed. And so I began to pray. But before I even did that, I was just you know, in the spirit, just looking, and I saw a large angel off to my right. And he was, I would guess that he was roughly, not the height of the peak, but roughly that. Now, I'm not saying that angels necessarily have height, okay? But that's the way the Lord showed it to me, okay? The Lord showed me this angel, and he was roughly of that height, okay? I go through a series of things. Again, just asking the Lord, and you know, I'm working with a translator because I don't know Portuguese and she didn't know English. And I began to watch as spiritual warfare happened in front of me. I saw her begin to receive healing by the hand of God, and he showed me that as some smaller angels just, and she, I could feel that she had received healing. And the next thing you know, the healing was removed. I saw the same sort of shorter demons, you know, little demons come. And as I began, the Lord was just training me. Okay, I'm just fast forward to the end. The Lord was training me, showing me the levels of authority that were there and operative. It turns out this woman wasn't just some nice old lady. She was actually a witch, as it turns out. And she was a witch doctor. She had authority over a region in Brazil. And eventually, I came into contact with the demon that had been assigned to her region, okay? The demon that she was expressing, the demon that she got her power from. In the meantime, there was a lot of, you know, the Lord showed me some things, and I asked her what they were, and it turns out that he showed me things like the tools of her witchcraft, okay? And he showed me those, and we destroyed those, okay? We broke those tools of her witchcraft. As we ascended the hierarchy of the demonic that was associated with her life, okay? And I've got a lot of details in there that I'm skipping over. But the bottom line is that in the end, the terrestrial demon, the demon over that portion of territory that she was in charge of, actually showed up, and he was about the same size as the angel that the Lord had showed me in the first place. And I knew that the Lord was saying to me, I got you covered. I put you here, son, okay? And you see some nice old lady, okay? And you don't know what's going on, but I've got you covered. I know what's going on, and in fact, I put my bouncer, my bully, right over here, and so you're good, you're covered way before you have a clue what's going on, George. You don't know what is going on.
I know what's going on and I got you covered, okay? That was what the Lord was saying to me. And in the end, I'm going to tell you, this woman was completely healed. We ejected the smaller demons, by the way, were under authority of the larger demons, okay? And they lived under authority, and they acted out their authority, okay? But the real deal is, she got healed. She was delivered. She was actually, the last image I saw of her was her just dancing around, and which would never have happened ever, because every little tiny movement of her back would grind, okay? And she was just dancing around, wholly free and wholly healed. What's my point? My point is, we don't know that much. He knows everything. We wait on him. He shows us. We walk with him. Does that make sense? It's really simple. We're the kids. He's the father. He's the one that's got all of the power and all of it, and we just walk with him. So there's better ways than senseless flailing and repetition. Ask the Lord what it is that we need to choose to change about the rules of engagement that will give us the place to live in a place of authority, because that's what God is trying to do. He gives you authority so you can live there. He wants not just to give you authority, he wants to promote you in authority, he wants to increase your authority, he wants to lift you up. That's his whole deal here. Why are you fighting the difficulties you're fighting? Because he wants to promote you. That's the only reason. If he didn't want to promote you in this arena, okay, in the place where you're having difficulty, then you wouldn't be having difficulty there. That's the only reason. He has goodness for you. And so ask him, how do you want to promote me? Show me the level, the right rules of engagement or the approach that I need to take. Here's a little key that I want to throw at you out of number 8 here. Number 8, demons love static situations. When I say static, I mean, Charlie knows what I mean, static versus dynamic. Okay, what I mean is still, motionless, stuck. He likes stuck things, okay? And there's a reason for that. Often we can inflate the power of the enemy. Don't inflate the power of the enemy. The enemy is a created, he's finite, okay? He's not infinite. He can't just do everything he wants to do. He can only do certain things. He's finite. He's encapsulatable, okay? He's something. He's a thing. He's not like God, who's everything everywhere, okay? Because he's finite, he has a finite capacity to address developing circumstances. Okay, so one of the keys that we need to understand in our regular life and in spiritual warfare is that we are called to be changing and even to be moving and operating differently in our warfare and to not necessarily always stay in the same spot. Okay? I'm not saying to not hold on to the truth. Hold on to what God has spoken to you, because those words are power. Okay? Those words are powerful. So hold on to the words. But God has shift and change for you. Again, back in Genesis chapter 1, the Spirit of the Lord is vibrating over chaos and over darkness and over the blackness. The Spirit of the Lord is sitting there shaking with power, okay? Literally vibrating. And there's motion to be had. There's something to be done. He's vibrating. You vibrate too. And move. Don't do it the same way. He's got a little different for you. I challenge you. Go and look through the scriptures. Read through maybe one whole gospel, okay? And find the places where he healed, let's just say, blind people or lepers, okay? And discover for yourself. I challenge you. How many times did he do it identically the same way? He almost never did. He kept doing things differently. That's all right. You know what? He's a creative God. Of course he would do it differently. And he will lead you to live differently and to war differently. You even can look at this in the Old Testament. I can't remember the exact circumstances, but, you know, the bad guys came up this way, so you were supposed to go that way, and then the bad guys came up this way. No, you're supposed to go around behind, you know. Here's the real deal. God has a different approach for you. And when you live dynamically rather than staying static, you have the upper hand. That's one of those dimensions where the enemy can't do everything. God can do everything. And God in you can do anything. So don't stay static. Don't do it the same way. Don't, you know, oh, yep. Yeah. Be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone in, goodness, this just doesn't seem to be working. No. You have fluidity. Jesus said in John chapter 3, the wind goes where it wills. You hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So this is what we're called to be, those that go like this, okay? We're called to not be predictable. Certainly not to the enemy. You've got to be kidding me. Don't be predictable. All right, let's go on. Spiritual strongholds are typically composed of very static, soulish materials. Deceptions, habits, oh, this is how I like it, this is what I like to do, this is my comfort zone. Feelings, perspective approaches, static things, stuck things, places where I'm going to just stay this way because I like it this way for whatever reason, typically a deceived reason. It's centered on, held together, and strengthened by spiritual power, things like unforgiveness. See how static that is? See how stuck that is? That's an unforgiveness. Demonic influence, curses, again, things that just like sit and try to sit there and by their weight hold you down and squish you and your whole family, right? They're not typically dynamic things. They're typically very static things. Strongholds are intended to create a site of control for primary destruction. Okay, so really to work at you. Okay, if it's a, you know, let's just say, you know, laziness, okay, you know, it's for primary destruction, really working primary destruction right there in laziness. But it's also intended to maintain position and oppression. Okay, so the whole purpose of it is to hold on to. Okay, so it's yes to do something, but to hold on to you while it does it, and to provide a fulcrum for leverage into other circumstances, situations, or people. So you know, possibly my laziness could, induce, you know, and maybe even depression that causes me to you know, overeat. Okay, there you go. So you know, try to leverage right into the next door thing. Okay, so but again, it's a static thing, and it's a static thing that tries to leverage off from there, but it wants to hold on to right here first. Okay, so that's what a stronghold is about. Typically, strongholds are again built by soulish things held together by spiritual things. Okay, so what kind of soulish things? An attitude, a thought, a perspective, a set of feelings, ways of dealing, you know, even possibly, you know, a curse that comes down and lodges itself in how I think, my ways. Okay, but they're held together by spiritual forces, which could be things like curses or things like actual demonic force. But that's a stronghold. A stronghold is built of rocks held together by mortar. The rocks are typically soulish, and the mortar is typically spiritual. But it has a center, a purpose for spiritual destruction. So you can also interlace strongholds for larger control. One of the most difficult situations I ran into, and you'll see it the same, both in your own life and in your ministry, is when there's multiple cooperatively protective strongholds. And somebody that has three, you know, often like maybe a rebellion and a rejection and a control, or what was the third one? In this particular case, it was lust. Okay, lust and rejection and rebellion, the three. And if you start to address the one, then the others will come in and be beating on the person so that. So they and by the time you beat off this attack, that one's back. Okay, I mean that's the sort of, and so having multiple strongholds connected, interconnected, can be a bit of a tricky thing. But again, let me just say, these are made out of lies. Typically, the rocks are lies in one form or another, held together by curses and ways and spiritual force. Strongholds are spiritual at heart, but embraced and kept in place by fleshly agreements and determinations. They're removed when man believes and agrees with God's word, which will not return to him void, but will accomplish what he sent it to accomplish. And again, getting back to the commands, the judgments, and the appointments, okay? So now when it comes right down to it, Everyone gets a choice as to what to believe. You can choose what to believe. You can either believe what God says, or you can believe something else. And those are the two main options, okay? It's either God or not God, right? You ask my mom, she'll tell you. It's either God or it's not God. It's either what God has said or it's something else, okay? And those are the only two categories that matter, okay? You can be really, really smart, okay? And that's fine, be really smart, okay? I don't even care. But it's either God or it's not God. Those are the two options.
Second Corinthians chapter 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And again, I want to remind you, and this, I can't remind you enough, and I'd love to have you investigate. What has God said for you to do? That's His commands. What has God said about you? And what's His heart in saying those things about you? That's His judgments. What has He declared over your life, His purposes and His timings over your life? Those are His appointments. Believe those things. Hold on to those. Keep them. Those are powerful, because His words are powerful. We are destroying speculations, okay? Those are thoughts, imaginations, okay? And every lofty thing, okay, that can be a demonic stronghold of various sorts, okay? Raised up against the knowledge of God. I have a couple of points about the knowledge of God I want you to hear. The knowledge of God. Number one, they come, what God has said to you, your CJA, that's the knowledge of God. What you know about Him and what you know of Him and what He has said of you, that's the knowledge of God. And so these things that come against the knowledge of God, we are destroying them. Okay? And that's essential for us to destroy them. They've got to be dead. They've got to be gone. Altogether gone. Let me say, so that's the knowledge of God. But let me note something to you. You are a finite being. Your brain is so big, okay? And no bigger. You have the ability to know and understand this much, okay, in some scale, okay, this much. God's bigger than that. Duh, that was obvious. So that means that you can only house within your understanding at any moment a very small fraction of what God's up to. The cool thing is that He gives you His Spirit. And His Spirit is always flowing into you. And He'll give you the stuff you need to know right now. You don't need to know everything. You know, I've got to know a few things, because it's my life, that you don't need to know. You need to know a few things, because it's your life, that I don't need to know. But the Spirit of God's got that figured out, so we don't have to worry too much about that. He'll tell you what you need to know for here and for now. And then tomorrow, He'll add to it. He'll let you forget a few things. He'll add to it what you need to know, and He'll add some more the next day. Meanwhile, I'm over here, and He's adding something in this other direction. Why? Because I need to know those things. The knowledge of God, because of your finiteness, is a dynamic thing. Expect Him to flow in what He's speaking to you. I'm not saying don't hold on to. Definitely hold on to His CJA. His commands, judgments, and appointments. Grab a hold of those things. Don't let go of them. Why? Because they're stuff He's given to you. Don't let go. You're to keep them. But the knowledge of God flows over top of that. It'll speak to you. The knowledge of God is necessary, fluid, and increasing for you. So we're destroying speculations and every lofty thing that raises up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Notice that we don't take this thought captive to some rule set, okay? Oh, here's the set of rules. Here's the six rules that you know. No, here's the 600. No, here's the 6 billion rules that you need to know so that you know how to take every thought captive. If you just figure it out and you just take every thought and compare it to George Osborne III's 6 billion favorite rules as to what you should know and think, okay? Here's what... No. Don't take it and try to compare it to a whole bunch of rules. That's not it. Compare it to the obedience of Christ. Again, this is a relational, interconnected thing. You're not looking to
figure it out on your own. Figure it out with respect to the obedience of Christ. Taking every thought captive to obedience. So this is not some creed or some philosophy, but it's obedience just as Jesus did to his Father. It's the obedience of Christ. Always taking every thought captive to that obedience. It's essential that we understand that we're never going to be smart enough to take our thoughts captive to our own smarts. Instead, we take every thought captive to what God says and is saying. Jesus, again, when the enemy confronted him, he quoted the scripture and he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, not just the things that sustain him on the natural, but by every proceeding word." What God is saying, that's the way man shall live. Can I say it that way? Man shall live by everything God is currently saying because you need it. That's how you live, okay? So, number 9. I was hoping to get through all of it. I don't think I'm going to today, you guys. I'd like to point out while I'm right here that Dad put something into the bulletin that you should read. And read it in the perspective of point 10 or so here. Maybe I will just very rapidly get through point 9 and 10. Who knows what will happen next week? One never knows. God's ways are dynamic. Let me say, you have authority to be changed. Everyone who is born of the Spirit is like the wind. You don't know where he's coming or where he's going. You have within you the Spirit of God, and therefore you have authority to be changed, okay? You do. You don't have to be stuck in a rut. You don't have to do the same thing as before. You have authority over your own choices. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. You don't have to repeat the same thing. You have the authority to invite, to expect, to hear, and to execute a change by God's grace. That's called self-control, but as a fruit of the Holy Spirit, okay? I'm not asking you to be a super religious person, okay? And control yourself by your own gumption. But I am speaking to you that you have the Spirit of God within you, and a fruit of that Spirit is that you get to be in charge of you. Self-control. So you have authority to be taking every thought captive. And a change in a thought changes a word, and changes an action, and changes an outcome. You have authority to be led by the Spirit into all truth. He's there for you to do that. That's why he was given to you. You have that. Therefore, you need a great deal of humility, a great deal of repentance, as a way of life. Okay? Let me just say, I put A-A-L, I meant as a way of life, A-A-W-L, as a way of life. Let me say to you this. Your best dynamic principle is, yes, Lord, change me. When you're being changed, the enemy doesn't have the ability to change with you at the rate you do. Okay? So let me just say, yes, Lord, change me. I want to be changed. Let me just say that an awful lot of problems in the church come from us thinking that we're about 99% of the way there. Maybe even 99.5% for the good ones among us, okay? Percent of the way there. That's a problem, okay? We are so wrong to think of ourselves as asymptotically getting there, okay? That's not the right. We're not approaching God's perfect. Oh my goodness, you know, another 0.25% and I'll be there. Wrong way of thinking. Wrong, 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 wrong. 100% wrong. Maybe even more than that, okay? The truth of the matter is, we are changing like this. We're not changing like, oh, just about getting there. We're going faster and faster in the change that takes us closer and closer to this infinite target that is his perfect likeness, his perfect being, who he is. Let me just say something to you. Anybody know what 10% of infinity is? It's not even sensible. It's infinity. The truth of the matter is we're zooming closer and closer to infinity, but we'll forever zoom closer and closer to infinity, and hopefully at a faster and faster rate. Don't think that you're about there, okay? That's a deception the enemy wants you to believe. You just about made it. Just a little tweak here and there. No. Instead, accelerate towards God. Expect more. Expect more change. Expect you have your brains blown out by the goodness of God. Don't think that you're just about there. It's just a silly way of thinking when you have such opportune moments to accelerate before the Lord. Do you see what I mean? It's just silly to say, oh, I'm just about there. Oh, goodness. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you're just about there. What a sad state of affairs. When you could have gifts of repentance, you could be shifted into the likeness of God like, boom, explosion. Do that instead. You have authority to determine change. You have creativity, spirit vibration within you. You have flow, often unpredictable motion. Initiation and spontaneity, I always love. Go look this up in your favorite Bible app. Jesus answered and said, go ahead, look up those words. I love those words. Want to know why? Because he didn't answer. And the question that was asked, or maybe there wasn't a question, he answers and said anyway, and he spontaneously answers the real question that never got asked. I love it. Jesus answered and said, ha. Freedom, boundlessness, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is explosive freedom available to us. His ways are dynamic, shifting, changing you, therefore changing everything around you. Part 10 is fairly well known. Because of our authority, our words and our decisions matter. And often we actually choose the result of the war. Dad in the bulletin said, what if? What if whatever you said really happened immediately every time? What if you said, let there be light, and instantly light had been where there was darkness? What if you said, damn you, and instantly someone shriveled up and was damned? What if you said, I'm sick, and instantly your temperature sailed to 106 degrees? What if you said, he's a stupid moron, and immediately he began to drool while stumbling around stupidly? What if your words actually had power? What if? What if because of your inner hostility, you refused to bless someone and that person was therefore deprived of blessing? What if? What if you said, I quit, and something died inside of you? What if you said, I'll never succeed in this, or I can't do it, I'm so stupid, I'm ugly, and everyone hates me? What if you carefully said those things only to yourself and inside of you that the truth existed? But what if when you thought those things inside you died or faded away? What then? What if words spoken or unspoken had power? Would you be more careful about what you think and speak about yourself or others? What if words spoken or unspoken had power? What if? I wonder. Perhaps words do have power. What if? So you should finish reading that. What if? Because of our authority, our words and our decisions matter, and we often actually choose the result of the war. Proverbs 18, the tongue can bring death or life. Ephesians 4, let no unwholesome word proceed. Unwholesome there has the sense of decaying. There's some biological thing in there that's tainting it and destroying it and bringing decay. Let nothing that has the potential for destruction proceed out of your mouth, but only such a word that is good for building, edification, building you up, or building others up according to the need of the moment. Notice the momentary thing again there. It's a dynamic thing. It's the word that has to come, the preceding word right now, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Every careless word that people speak, they'll give an accounting for it. Because of our authority, we choose the result of the war, sometimes by being, more interested in our comfort zone. Jill was here. She had to go to work. Got a job, by the way. Hallelujah. I'm so happy for Jill. Really, really a good job, I think. Delighted. We often think we know what's going on. We think, and you know, maybe even somebody wants something from us, okay? Strasselin wants me to pray for her a certain way, okay? And
maybe God's got a different will. You guys know, those of you that have been trained here for ministry, what's the first job that we do as a minister? Well, we'll listen to Jocelyn, but we'll listen to God more, okay? She says, oh, I need to get healed. Well, the lady down in Brazil, she needed to get healed, right? That's what she wanted. No. She needed to get delivered. She had demonic forces, you know, active in her life that were destroying her and others around her, okay? Huge destruction. So what did God have for us to do? Well, George answered and said, no, we're gonna yank that demon out, okay? We're not gonna address, okay, now we'll address. Good. The answer is not human intent, but God's intent, God's purpose, God's will for that circumstance. Joe was working with some people this week and they had their designs and their purposes. They wanted to control it. And the answer was, no, not so much. We're going to do it the way God does it. And when we said, not so much your way, she and I think it was you guys together, boom, the power of God got released and significant stuff happened. But we can do what the person wants and nothing happens too, right? Those are the options. The command was to rest. And in your rest, God does accomplish, okay? That's just real deal. That's spiritual warfare, okay? Rest. Ha! Rest. Yes, rest. When you rest and then power goes forward, that's the right thing. Being more interested in your comfort zone, whether that's because of somebody else or because of your own comfort, physical, mental, emotional, religious comfort zones. Oh, I like it this way. Let me just say, if you think you don't have religious comfort zones, then think twice. Or as many times as it takes for you to start agreeing with me, you do. Okay? The reality is we need to get rid of those stupid religious comfort zones and operate like this instead of like that. Okay? This, by the way, is a religious comfort zone. I'm just about there. Okay, that's a religious comfort zone. This says, I am moving towards the infinite. Woo! You never get that close, okay, but you keep going faster and further, okay? That's the reality. That's good. Comfort zone can be hidden as experience. Oh, your wisdom. Oh, your knowledge. Great, I'm so glad for you. Be careful. If it's not knowledge of God, it's a lofty thing that needs to get destroyed. In pride, by thinking we know what's actually beyond us, we have some little tiny thing that we know, and maybe it's true. Maybe it's true over there in that little corner. And we say, oh, it's true everywhere. Okay, I guess God will have to break you out of that little zone. The real deal is the preceding word of God. What God is saying, what God is leading you, that's where you want to live. Laziness with respect to shift and change, we need to embrace humility and repentance. Now listen to this. We can choose the result of a war by considering the options to be only those we think we see. Instead, we need to humbly expect to have a creative God give us creative realities. Okay? You think God can't create reality? He did, and he does, and he continues. And if you'll work with him, he will create reality. But it takes a little bit of humility on your part because you actually don't know. You actually need him, FYI. All right. Much, much, much to be said in that last couple of points that I kind of skipped through. You should read these things through. Who knows? Maybe we'll go over them again. But I'd encourage you to review these. I really, as I told you guys earlier, I strongly believe that the life and lifestyle that we're going to need for the situation and circumstances that are upon us and coming upon us are ever more like this and ever less like our comfort zones from yesterday and the day before. I want to encourage us. In fact, I'll just pray it. You guys ready? Let's pray together. Father, call us as you have.
Stir us in our hearts as you have. Cause us to rise up and be men and women of God. Cause us to be sons and daughters that are not satisfied with getting another 0.1% closer to you, but that want to accelerate towards you. We desire your stuff. We want to hear you. We set our hearts and our minds and our souls to resonate with your vibration in our world. We don't want a minimal thing. We want to move with you. We want to move with you. You are moving, shaking, creative, spontaneous God, and we want to be just like you, Daddy. Lord, I bless these, your precious ones. By your Spirit, cause them to rise up in knowledge of you. Cause them to hack off and destroy every speculation or lofty thing that comes against knowledge of you. Release them into the reality of your kingdom in all of the places where they are called to be living, in the places and the zones of their authority. I release your grace over them. Lord, I declare protection over them as they explore, protection over them as they reach. Bless them, Lord, as you just draw them into your realm and into the higher realms of their authority. Bless them and promote them. Pour out your grace upon them, I pray. Lord, we bless Mom and Dad over at the Rock Church. Ask you, Lord, for great fruit over there. We bless the various operations of this church and in every person that's here. Lord, I just pray a release into their ministries of your grace, of your wisdom, of your knowledge, of your power, of your healing, and of your salvation in every regard. I bless these, your precious ones, in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace to you guys. Thanks for being with us today. Bless you. It's good to have you here. Love you very much. And listen. Jill, it's so nice to have you home. We love having you here today. Bless you. So good to have you. Grace, grace, grace to you. And continued healing in Jesus' name. Bless you. Thanks, you guys.